The main scripture is Philippians 3 and 19, but we're going to be jumping around a bit. So we just finished Peter's chapter 1, and we're going into Peter's chapter 2. And the second chapter, it focuses a bit on the second book, I should say. And the second chapter focuses a bit on false teaching and their destruction, the destruction of false teachers. And it kind of brings me to this point. Just this week, we have a lot of new workers at my job, and one of them stepped to like my coworkers that I was, you know, that I've been with for a while, and they was like, "Yo, what's up with this black dude, man? He kind of walks through. He don't really say nothing to nobody. I mean, I don't really know them, but you know, I just, you know, just doing my job. But they like, you know, he don't really say anything to anybody. Like, he's one of those pro-black, you know, just, you know, strong brothers, you know." And she was like, "Nah, he's the total opposite. You don't, if you get to know him and you see his views, like, he's the total opposite." And it kind of put, they were able to put their guards down. And then the next time they saw me, they was like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And, you know, we just like, "Hey, what's up?" And we start talking. But just the perception of me, you know, what they saw, and I'm thinking about society and media, you know, that's how, that's what they automatically thought, you know, which kind of brought this message out to me. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for truth. We thank you for your understanding. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives, Lord. If we were walking through this world without your guidance, Lord, we would be lost. Lord, we wouldn't know which way to go. Lord, we would be hopeless, Lord. And we thank God that you have given us hope. You've given us joy. You've given us peace, Lord, and that you've made us salt and light in this world, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for everything you've done. We pray that your word goes out and it fills our heart. It washes us. It sanctifies us. And it just gives us a fresh new view of who you are. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, you know, just off of that testimony, it kind of brings me to the world's fastest growing religion that I see now. And it's called wokeism. Just like Hinduism or Buddhism or Marxism or paganism, wokeism is a religion. The definition of ism is doctrine, theory, or religion. 1/3 of American voters identify as being woke. Again, let me stress, wokeism is a religion. They have a God, which is man's feelings. It's whatever you feel. You do what you want to do, how you're feeling today, that's what you are. That's their God. Philippians 3, 18 and 19 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." They have a Bible. The Bible is critical race theory. Critical race theory, or CRT for short, is an academic theory that rejects the founding principles of the United States. Like Marxism, CRT divides society into oppressors and the oppressed. Marxism is based on class, but while CRT is based on the division of race. According to CRT, everything is about race and power. The American ideals of individual liberty and rights are foolish nonsense put forth to further white supremacy. That's what CRT is about. I know you see it a lot in the media. This is what they're pushing in the schools to the kids. And you're seeing a lot of parents fighting back against it. They also believe in gender theory. They challenge the assumption that gender identity necessarily correlates with biological sex and recognize the validity of a wide range of sexual orientations and gender identities. There are over 60 gender identities. Example, we would be called cisgender because we exclusively identify with the sex or gender given to us at birth. the ones that's given to us by God, right? When you're having a baby, what's everybody worried about? What's going to be the sex? We can't control that. And that's why they have gender reveal parties and everything, because that is an act of God. Man does not have control over that. And now you're seeing they're pushing that. No, we do have control over that. We can call us whatever we want. They get upset when, you know, you don't call me by my pronouns. Their doctrine of salvation, man is saved or made woke by rejecting biblical revelation and Judeo-Christian Western values. That's their doctrine of salvation. Their eschatology, or doctrine of the last days, man will be free once all morality, accountability and responsibility that makes us feel bad about ourselves is finally eliminated by the power of a social state. This is what they believe the last days for them is going to be. 2 Peter 2:19 says, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. It's all a lie. They saying that if we become a socialist state and we're not accountable to God, that's when we're free, which is all a lie. They have an offering. Out of $2 trillion American Rescue Plan, millions are going to the leftist social groups and the Black Lives Matter. That's their offering. They have a church. Political action is the church. They meet up about 3 times a week. They believe Christianity is a white man's religion. Their goal is not to save souls for God, but to save souls through marching, protesting, and, as we saw, riots, rebelling. In a nutshell, wokeism is just the new Gnosticism. What we're seeing today is nothing new. Back in the days, the apostles, there was Gnosticism, which is Greek for knowledge. They were calling themselves the knowing ones. They believed that they were enlightened, or what we would call today woke, because they had certain secret knowledge that put them above everyone else. Before you were saved, who ever seen the DVD, The Secret? Remember The Secret when it came out? Everybody was like, yo, passing the DVD, yo, this secret. And then when I got saved, I realized it was the same old lie from the garden. That tree of good and evil. Like this hidden knowledge Satan told Eve, if you eat, you're going to be like God. It was the same old lie. And Gnosticism, back in the days of the apostles, that's what they preach. They denounced that Christ came in the flesh. But all of this was prophesied by God. In Acts 20, 29 through 30, it says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. The early church fathers, they had to combat that false religion, that false thinking. We see John. In 1 John 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The Gnostics said that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh. So John, when he wrote this epistle, he had to combat that knowledge that was going out. Jude was persuaded. In verse 3 of Jude, he says, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people, which is all of us. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only Lord and sovereign and Lord. Peter says in 2 Peter 2:1, he says, but there was also false prophets among the people, just as there were false teachers among you. They were secretly introduced destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Paul, Galatians 1 and 6, he says, I am astonished that you are quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning into a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one preached to you, let them be under God's curse. So we're seeing all these apostles and the church fathers, they had to combat that false misunderstanding, that religion at the time. They stood up. So when you're reading the New Testament, you're reading apologetics. You're reading that even Jude, he said, I wanted to write to you about our common faith, but I hear what's going on. And I have to write and combat this. So now we have the gospel versus wokeism. The gospel means good news. And what they're teaching is that there's an alternative to this good news. It is our job to refute and expose it. Just as the early church fathers did with Gnosticism, in every generation there is a different form of Gnosticism. In the Middle Ages, it was Romism, which was a mix of tradition and paganism. In the 1700s, there was a movement in Europe called the Enlightenment. And at the time, there was a theologian called John Edwards, who went out and he preached the gospel. And at that time, you had a great awakening in America. During the 60s and 70s, which some of you lived through, there was the hippie movement, the free love, drugs and sex and rock and roll, right? And then you had men like Chuck Smith who went out and preached the gospel. Then you had the Jesus movement. So every time that this form of Gnosticism arises, God always sends out men to go and combat it. You know, one preached a return to the word of God while the other preached to denounce the word of God. You see enlightenment, great awakening, woke. Notice it's all surrounded by claiming to have light. So now you have the true light versus the false light. There is a false light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And then now you have the true light. John 1:9 says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, which is who? Jesus Christ. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never be in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I would be exactly like my coworkers thought I would be. That angry black man that's part of BLM and everything is the white man's fault. Being woke is not an awakening to God's truth, but the doctrine of Satan. Now, the unsaved mind, when he hears this, he's going to draw his attention to it. You know why? Because the hearts of men are wicked. Now he has a reason to be bitter. Now he has a reason to be jealous. Now he has a reason to be in his lust. And that's what this woke-ism is providing now for the unsaved. Now he has a reason to, not get up and work. Now he can blame everybody for his shortcomings. What is woke really? In a nutshell, it's just a doctrine that claims to provide freedom from oppression. They claim God is the oppressor. He oppresses us through moral, economic laws, accountability, and his requirement for our responsibility. It's just like with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what they did, they started the blame game. If it was somebody else's fault, God would have been like, all right, Eve, all right, Adam, you're not, I'm going to, no. Everybody was accountable in the garden because everybody falls short of the glory of God. It tells you that Western religion was made up to oppress and that is their great awakening. This is why in the recent years you start to see more and more people are put in power who are on the side of this. And, they push voter suppression and pay wage gap and all of that. And then you have the LGBTQ aspect of it, which is a philosophy to throw off all sexual, social morals. They don't want to be accountable about how they live their lives sexually. You have the economic aspect, which is an element which call property rights and capitalism oppression to bring forth a communist state. This is why they're implementing vaccine mandates and all of that, even though the science doesn't back it. They just want to kill people's businesses, and they want an economic collapse so that they can come and set up their own system. And this is rebellion to the direct command of God. Genesis 3:19, he says, by the sweat of thy brow, you shall eat bread. That's what God had said to Adam. And there's no way around it. But how they're trying to set things up is so that there could be a way around it. The ultimate goal is to turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel 16:49 says, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She ate, she and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness." That was the underlining thing that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. The racial aspect is just all smoke screens for the real agenda, which is the sexual free, which is sexual freedom from God's moral law. So they push in all the race theory. That's all just smoke screens. They say Christianity produced slavery, so then it's wrong because it's all about oppression. So then now they're going to go on the backs of all the race theories and everything. But at the end of the day, it's just really about to have sexual freedom. There was crime and other sins in the heart of... There was crimes and other sins, but the heart of Sodom was pride, and the goal was sexual freedom from God's moral law. And I remember watching a documentary, Tom Hanks here did it, about the 60s. And when you go through the documentary and you start to align all the pieces, you see just how Satan was weaving through the culture. You know, they used the civil rights movement, and through the civil rights movement came the feminist movement. And then once the feminists opened the door, then the LGBTQ came and followed right after. That's why in the Bible, when he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, in Ezekiel, he said they were full of pride, they had idleness. But what does God point out when he gives you the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? He points out that sexual immorality, because at the end of the day, that's the real, real goal. All of the other stuff is just smoke screens. It's just people to open the door so that they can walk through. Wokeism says judge. God says judge not. Wokeism says repay evil for evil. God says do not repay evil for evil. Wokeism demands revenge. God says to forgive. Wokeism plays the blame game. God says all have fallen short. Wokeism at the end is nothing but idolatry. Romans 1:24 says, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature, which is man, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Ancient idols were tied to different ideologies, and those beliefs are still alive to this day, from Molech to abortion to mammon with money. They worshiped those gods, but deep down inside, it was just ideologies, and it was just revealing the hearts of men. Because man is at enmity with God, his goal is to redefine God's character and who he is. This is what we get in a society that refuses to worship God. Paganism tries to fill the God-shaped void that's in every human being. So all these things, all these other gods and all these other religions that they try to follow, at the end of the day it's just the results of rejecting God. Because you were made to worship. That's what you were made to do as human beings. Call it humanism, leftism, wokeism, it's all the same. Distinctions that matter. All of the dogmas of wokeism, there is one that stands out the most, which is the making of false distinctions, which is often called identity politics. Identity politics is a political approach wherein people of a particular gender, religion, race, social background, class, or other identifying factors develop a political agendas that are based upon these identities. False teachers will tell you the lesser distinctions such as economic class, race, social status, and education is what's important. It's male versus female, old versus young, black versus white, 1% versus the 99, because the real motive is money, power, and fame. That's their real motive. But they're going to put up, you know, they're going to pit people against each other. They're going to be like, oh, white versus black. You know, male versus female, you see all these movements, the race movement, the feminist movement. But at the end of the day, it's just for gain for themselves. So they throw out all these different distractions. And that's who is the father of lies? It's Satan. Satan is the real one behind all of this. But Jesus says in Luke 12:15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." That's what our Lord and Savior says. Be very careful where you're putting your heart at. Because all the things that you're gaining in this life, that's not where life is really at. And my question to each and every one of us is, what is our identity? Before we came to Christ, we were many things. Exactly why the Lord says, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom. Because before you're born again, you identify with plenty different things of the world. And at the end of the day, it's just things, smoke screens set up by Satan. Because he wants your soul to go to hell. He knows where his destiny is at, and he's trying to drag as many of us with him as possible. Everything we were before we were born again does not matter. If you read Philippians 3, it's just a bit up, verse 8. It says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, become like him in his death. Paul says he counted everything as loss. Paul was a very learned man. You know, he was a Pharisee. He had money. He had social status. But as soon as he met Jesus Christ, he counted it all as loss. And that's what most of us have done. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviors, who had their bachelor degrees and their masters and their PhDs. And, you know, we thought that's what made us, you know, who we were until we came to Christ. And we counted it all as loss. God divides the human race into two significant groups, the saved and the lost. That's what it's all about. That's the common thread throughout the whole Bible. In the Old Testament, it was Cain versus Abel, Isaac versus Ishmael, Jacob versus Esau. In the New Testament, it's either you're in Christ or you're not. It's either you're alive in Christ or you're spiritually dead. Either you have the Holy Spirit or not. Either you're the sons and daughters of light or the sons and daughters of darkness. That's all that really matters to God. This is the only true distinction in the human race that matters overall. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature when you come into Christ. When you're in the context of this verse, these verses, that is what Paul is addressing. The way we view humans is not by race, age, or gender, but are they in Christ and saved and in fact have become new creatures? That's what we're worried about now. When you're interacting with human beings, you're not looking at race. You're not looking at status. You're not looking at age. All you're worried about is, do you know Christ? Because he's coming. This world is coming to an end. And are you going to heaven? That's all you care about now. Colossians 3:11 says, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The renewal that Paul is referring to is this new birth. Are you born again? I don't want to hear that you're a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. When you talk to everybody, everybody's a Christian. The question you have to ask is, are you born again? Remember when Jesus was with Nicodemus, Nicodemus was like, what is this born again? Jesus was like, exactly. If you're not born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. That's the conversation we need to be having with the world. Because we are new creatures and are now saved, we begin to realize that the other distinctions are not important. You being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ is all that matters. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Paul's day, the big fight was all over social divisions, social status. Galatians 5 and 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor circumcision avails anything, but a new creation. 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. And we say the same thing as the church today. We say gender, race, social status is nothing. Are you in Christ? Are you saved? Do you have the Holy Spirit? That's what matters to us. All right, closing, I make three last points. Wokeism might be the last precursor to the great deception that's coming. Everybody turn to your Bibles, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9. It's just a little bit past, it's right before 1 Timothy. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. The lawless one is the Antichrist. Everything that you're seeing now is just being set up for his return. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. People don't want truth. And that's why now they're believing in wokeism and they're rejecting God. And when the great deception comes, they're going to fall right in line. That they might be saved. And for this, verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. At the end of the day, that's where their hearts was at. The reason they didn't love truth, the reason they rejected truth, is because deep down inside, they love darkness, like Jesus Christ said. So people will walk around like, nah, I'm a good person, I got a good heart. And you hear the truth of God and you reject it, nah. Deep down inside, exactly what Christ says, men rejected the light because they loved darkness. We just went through the book of Revelation. We know that the Antichrist will have a false prophet who will do great signs and speak blasphemies. Those who practice or preach wokeism will have the same end as the Antichrist, will have the same end as the false prophet, which is hell if they do not repent. That is where people who practice wokeism, who don't believe in Jesus Christ, who's going along with all the social norms, who doesn't want to cause waves on the job or with their families, they just want to kind of toe the line and live their life. At the end of the day, this is the end. Which takes us back to the main scripture in Philippians 3 and 19, right? It says, whose end is destruction, that is the end, right? And whose glory is their shame, right? When you go to verse 18, it says, because they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Before you come to Christ, you are at enmity with God. You are his enemy. And at the end of the day, if you stay and you die in that state, your end is destruction and your glory is shame. The truth in the word of God can cause a true awakening because it has the power of God. Right? 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5 says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. The word of God is the power of God. This is why it's so important for us to always be speaking the word of God. You don't need a confession right then and there. Just let the word of God work. It says his word will not come back void. And it all relies on our faith. Do we really believe that? So when you're speaking a word to somebody, they could be sitting there looking right through you. Don't worry about that. The word of God will not come back void. And that's where the power is. It's always in the word of God. Acts 19 verse 20 says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed during that time of the apostles. I believe the Lord is allowing all of this so that the evil ones can be exposed, so that they can come to repentance. That's why the Lord is allowing everything that you're seeing in society now to expose men's hearts. That's why I believe social media is here. Everything you want to say, you're just going to blurt out. You'll speak your heart all day on social media. And what happened? People sees it, and people start to combat it. Your views start to get combated. And that's why it's important for us to always be aware and always speaking the word of God. Because people are in darkness. You know, it's like what the word says. They ain't darkness. They don't even know they're under the power of Satan. You know, before I came to God, you know, a lot of you guys know, what brought me to God is when I realized I was working for Satan. You know, it wasn't hearing the gospel. It was one day I was watching a documentary, and I realized I was on the side of Satan. So I was like, if Satan is real, God has to be real. And then I was like, let me find out about God. And then it led me to the gospel, and I got saved. You understand? Our job as the church is to continue to preach the word and be salt and light. I believe there will be a revival because the Lord's will is that none should perish. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of the corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower fails away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we, as the worship team comes up, Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord, which leads us to all truth. There's so many lies in this world. There's so many religions. There's so many ideologies. We're being bombarded all day from